thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Would you continue praying with me? Our Lord, what a privilege it is to say, our Lord. We have you and you have us. Others have their so-called gods and act like they themselves are God. But our Lord has made them and loves them, even with their misplaced loyalties and ideas. Help us to be good stewards over all that you've entrusted to us. Take your rightful place on the throne of our hearts. May you truly be Lord of each one of us. We ask that you speak through your servant Jose, as he also submits himself to you and commits himself to our well-being. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Greg. It was July 21st, 1969, when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon. After all of their work and effort, training, they finally arrive upon this celestial body, the moon. And later on, Buzz Aldrin would say, looking at the Earth, he would say, I am at awe of how our Earth can look like a marble just floating in this vast universe. To be in awe when you all of a sudden we get a different perspective, which is what he was viewing at that particular time. But then years later, September 5th, 1977, we would launch what was and is called Voyager 1. And it was sent out in order to record the things that it would encounter. And I believe even to today, as Voyager 1 has now traveled past our solar system, it is still sending messages back to us. However, as it was passing Neptune, and Neptune is about 3.7 billion miles away, the people here who were controlling Voyager 1 said, let us take one final picture of the Earth, right? And in this is the last picture, right? And in case you can't see it, it's right there, right? And And they've called this picture the pale blue dot. Right? And here's what I need you to wrap your mind around, right? Everyone you love, everyone you've known, everyone you will ever know is on that dot, right? And every once in a while, you and I, if it's a clear night, we look up into the stars and we marvel, right, at what we are able to see. And with the naked eye, we can see about 1,000 to 2,000 stars. If we have a 4-inch telescope, we might see 1,000,000 stars. If we have a 21-foot mirror scope, we can probably see a couple of million stars. We are at the Hubble telescope, we would see much more, right? And every once in a while, right, it just helps to have this perspective, right, of life. And every once in a while, it is okay to have a childlike adventure in reference to, right, what is it that God created, right? Because here's the thing, according to God's word, he created all of it, right? So all of the things that Voyager 1 is discovering, it's discovering it because God placed it there. And it's amazing because we can stop and look at our own Earth, and when we put it in perspective, there are certain parts of the Earth that we still have yet to discover. Right? And all of this leads us to this psalm, right? A psalm that David wrote. It's a psalm that captures the majesty of God. But then in the middle of the psalm, it also focuses on his created being, you and I, right? That in light of everything else that he has created, that God would have his eye on you, right? And this is from David's perspective as he wrote this worship hymn. And so he would start off by saying, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Right? And if you look at that first line, "O Lord, our Lord," it almost sounds similar, right? But there's a reason why one of them is all caps and the second one has just the first letter as a capital, because in the Hebrew, it communicates something totally different. The first one has to do with the covenant relationship that God has with his people. It is what we would say Yahweh. And if you were to translate the Hebrew, right, Yo-Heh-Vah-Heh, right, that would be Yahweh without the vowels, right, and it's also what we would translate as Jehovah, right, and I've heard it said, right, it's that if you take a breath in through your mouth, almost as if you're yawning, and exhale, you can almost hear God's name, right? And it would be the first words that you would take as a baby, Yahweh. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And the second Lord is what we would identify as Adonai. And to translate that, it would mean that God is our master, right? Jehovah Adonai. Jehovah, our master. And it's the relationship of who he is positionally, but then how he behaves and we relate to him in this relationship. And he would say, right, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. His glory is greater than anything on the earth, right? And that means everything that is in place that hasn't been discovered, his glory is above that. And this is from the perspective of David, right? He doesn't have the scientific abilities like we have today to be able to discover, right? That's just him as a shepherd boy looking up to the sky and just being at all with God, right? Are you at all with God? To worship him. That his glory is above the heavens. And here's one of the things I need you to know about the Psalms, right? The Psalms are a song, and this verse would be the reprisal, right? The piece that would be said or sung over and over again. So wherever you have the first verse, the last verse, there's always a repetition or there's always an answer. It's almost as if you need to see it as a bookend holding something in the middle. So as glorious as God is, God wants us to, well, what's in the middle of this psalm? Right, and that's where we're heading to. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. Right, David would identify the most insignificant creature available, an infant. Like, what can an infant provide and do? Right? And, but yet, you and I can look at a brand new baby and be at awe at God's creation, right? And also, and at that moment, you know that you had very little to do in the creating of an infant, especially as you just look at them, and you start to examine their little fingers, right? And how all of this has been done, right? And but here's what the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, right? In their time, they would have saw an infant as something that was weak, right? Something that would not be beneficial into the life of a community, other than being able to carry your name forward, right? But then years later, Jesus, on Palm Sunday, in his triumphal entry into the temple, as he would be healing the blind and the lame, these very verses would be applied to him as the children would shout out, Hosanna. Right, in Matthew 21, starting at verse 15. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, That was Jesus. The children cried out in the temple, "Hosanna, the Son of David." They were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Right? That would be the children. And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praises," right? So this is Jesus identifying himself as the Messiah through the line of David, right? And this is also Jesus making a stand against the chief priests and the scribes, because to take one part of the verse, right, is also to take the other part, right? So you have to ask yourself, in relationship to God, then who's the foe? Who's the enemy? Who's the avenger? And that would be the chief priest, the ones who thought they were in right relationship, right? And this is why they would be indignant, because they knew, right, what the kids were saying as they were worshiping the Messiah. And then David would say, right, that, and this is where you have to, like, use your imagination, right? He's the youngest of Jesse's children. He's out taking care of the sheep, right? He's looking up at the sky, and when I look at your heavens and the work of your finger, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, right? He's looking at God as creator, right? And, you know, this psalm wants to lift your eyes up, right? So all of a sudden that you're able to see beyond the heavens. It's almost like, let your imagination go, right? And then just as you start to see, he brings us all the way back. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him, right? Like, remember that pale blue dot that looked so far away, right? That unless I put that arrow there, you might have not saw it, right? And in light of everything that's been created, God has his eyes on us. You have to ask yourself, why? Why would God be so interested in you and me? Right? And I believe because God created us in his likeness. Right? We are his created beings. And when you hear this verse, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him," he's just repeating the same thing twice. That's what Hebrew poetry would do for emphasis, right? He's asking the question, why would you care, right? Why would you care for you or me, even now? Ask yourself, what are you doing right now to keep your heart beating? If it wasn't for him keeping your heart beating, he's doing that, right? And the one thing I believe that he would want is worship. These verses also later on in the New Testament are used by the author of Hebrews, right? When he starts to say, "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor," right? It's at first he is talking about us, right, that we have been made a little lower than heavenly beings, than angels, right? And And as much as we can say that he's made us lower than heavenly beings, you can also then say that you have made us a little bit higher than the beast of the land. It's almost like this middle place of existing, right? Many commentators would say. And it's because we are spirit beings as much as we are physical beings. And when you look at angelic beings, they are spiritual beings. When you look at your animals, they are beings with no spirits. I know some of us think, no, they're much greater than that, our dogs and cats, right? But when we read God's word, this is what we have, right? And when we look at the animals and we look at the angelic beings, we are different, right? And I think that's why in our society today and throughout humanity, right, it's many have questioned this whole idea of evolution, right? Because if we're not looking up and worshiping, we're going to look down and want to become like the beast, right? And you got to remember, God created us in his image, right? And he wants us to look up. He wants, because eventually that's where we're going to be. As I said earlier, the author of Hebrews would use these very words to give us a picture of who Jesus is, right? So when you look at the breakdown of Hebrews, Hebrews talks about the Christology of who Christ is, right? And soteriology, how does Christ achieve salvation for you and for me? But before we get to that place and we start to see who Christ is, we see that the author says that Christ is different than the angelic beings. Right? And he takes this verse. Right? For it was not to the angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. And you have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. He would continue in verse 9. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. You got to remember that God created man to be in relationship with him, right? We got deceived, right? And we lost that relationship with God, but God pursued us. And then through God's plan, he would send Jesus. Jesus, being eternal, executing God's plan, would take on human flesh. And at that moment, he became a little bit lower than the angels. To accomplish his goals, he lived on this earth for 33 years, and upon rising from the dead and walking on this earth for another 40 days, he ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he sits, mediating on behalf of you and me, waiting for the return. Right? So for a little while, meaning a span of time, Jesus was a little bit lower than the angels. For a little while, you and I are a little bit lower than the angels. Because when we are in the presence of God, right, we will be greater than the angels. Because here's what Scripture says about the angels, right? That they peer in to see why. Why is God so interested in you and me? Right? And because God has made us to be special. Right? We might not think we're special. Right? And because of the love of Jesus, he has made sure that this ongoing relationship could be maintained. And then David would be reminded of Genesis 1, right? Because God created all of these creatures and then he gave Adam authority, dominion over them. You have given him dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the path of the sea. Right? Everything, right? Everything is under our feet. Everything is under his feet. Right? And sometimes we struggle with that. Right? And sometimes we forget that we have dominion. Right? And it is one of those covenant promises that God made to Adam that even though Adam sinned, that covenant promise was never withdrawn. Right? And right, so when we and I in today, where we struggle with alcohol and drugs, and we give ourselves to that, right? And eventually those things that we tend to enjoy control us. At that moment, those things have dominion over us instead of us having dominion over them, right? And sometimes that happens in relationships where we forget, right? But God has set certain things to be a certain way. And sometimes because of sin, we forget. But here's the thing. Just because we forget, that doesn't void the fact that you and I were made in his image, that we are image bearers of him. And then as we come to a close, we end where we started. Oh Lord, Yahweh, our Lord, Adonai. How majestic is your name in all the earth. He is God in the beginning. He's God in the end. And here's the question you have to ask yourself. Why does he have his eyes on you? Why are you and I so important? Why is God going so out of his way? And we see that through the sending of his son, right? Where he would make a way, right? And I believe it's all about worship. It's all about glorifying him. It's all about acknowledging all that he has done. Right, so there are many summaries of all of this, right? But the one that I love the most is from James Montgomery Boyce, right? He was the pastor of Fourth Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And here's what he writes, right? There are three wonderful truths about man, right? So when I say man, it's man and woman. When you read this particular psalm, right? And that is God made man, right? We didn't have the ability to do this ourselves, right? That God in his plan, he created us just like he created everything else, right? And no matter how small we might be in this vast universe, you are important to God. Right? And as much as he made us, God made man for something glorious. Right? And you might be sitting here going, well, I don't feel glorious. I don't feel, right? But here's the thing, right? No matter how you feel, that doesn't void God's purpose in your life. And then the last one is, God made man for a high and worthy destiny, right? And sometimes we just have to stop so that the noise can quiet down, so that we can see, right? It's when we come together and we start to worship God, right? Everything we do is worship, right? From the moment we walk in the door, the prayer, the greeting of each other, all of it's worship. There's not one part within our worship service that isn't worship. Even the announcements with Pastor Ken, right? All of that's worship, right? Because it's all about God. It's all about what God's doing. It's all about how God's going to use you. It's all about how God is going to use us here in the West End of Port Jervis. And right, it's like I remember coming to Port Jervis. I don't want to go to Port Jervis, right? And God would say, I love them just like I love you. And all of a sudden you would hear those words, right? He's mindful of them, right? He's got his eye on them and he's going to use us to reach them, right? It's the reason why we have Bible studies, right? Whether rooted in love, heart to heart, Port now that's being led by Linda and Patty, Sunday school. The reason why we have this building here, right? And here's the thing, right? It's not just us. It's any gospel-believing church, right? God has called all of us for a high and worthy thing. You know why? Because the God we worship is glorious, right? He's glorious. And as much as he has been crowned with glory, you, his created being, have also been crowned with glory, right? And he has his eyes on you. And all of that, right, brings us to this communion table, where he reminds us to remember. Remember as we partake, right? Because we remember what he did over 2,000 years ago. He didn't have to do it, but he did it out of the love of his Father. And he did it so that we would have a way to get to the Father, because there was nothing we were going to do to get to him. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you. Thank you for these words in Psalm 8 that help us to lift our eyes to you as we do worship. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts to approach the table, I pray that you will meet us right here, right where we're at. Lord, we thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.